Hey guys, you're listening to Photography Insights with me, Andrew Walmsley, the show that goes behind the scenes and interviews people from the photography world. For episode 79, I'm really happy to present a great person from the community and a good friend of mine. Pete Falkus is the man behind Static Age Zines, who offers a variety of work from around the globe. He's one of the hard-working individuals that's in the industry of film photography because of his love for the medium of film. He has a great positive attitude towards life and gets involved with some great people. He talks to us about his early roots of bands, zines and skateboarding that obviously made him who he is, a big kid. You'll get to learn about the man behind the brand too and why he selects people to work with and why money is not the answer. And in this episode, we discuss making something you love, what's involved in publishing, why film is useful for learning, taking pictures of baths and chairs, shooting weddings with me, living in the north, and buying carpets or Portra 800. And of course, Pete goes through the random questions. So find out why he invents a new Mr. Ben book and who his favourite comic book villain is. So please sit back, listen to the music, and we'll await our guest Pete. Hello, everybody, and today I have with me Pete from Static Age. Welcome, Pete.
Yeah, hi, man. How's it going?
Yeah, all right. My wife was really interested that I was talking to a Geordie.
All right.
So she was coming up with all the slang she's heard on TV and away, man.
As long as it's not either Fender or Geordie Shaw, then you're all right.
Yeah. No, because I think the thing is, I love the northern thing. I'm a big Scouse fan, so even like
that's not the north.
The job that's not north enough for you, I know. But it's the job. It always has this sort of style. I think as a localism, pleasant people. I don't know. There's something about Geordies. Everyone seems to like Geordies.
I think you're probably. Maybe everyone's just quite happy with who they are, you know, and everyone's just quite approachable, and everyone usually just kind of wants to have fun, you know. There's not many, you get the odd dickhead, but that's half of life anyway. But I'd say most people up here, they're just quite happy being where they are and who they are and just want to go about their own business.
Yeah. There you go. You've summarized the north.
It's nothing like Geordie Shaw, which is, if anyone hasn't seen it, don't go and look it up, because it definitely doesn't represent the North East, because I think there's none of them are actually Geordies anyway. So, you know, I think that says a lot about MTV and who they cast, but there we go.
Yeah, yeah. We'll definitely not talk about reality TV, mate, that's for sure. It's probably one of the most boring subjects for people like us, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. I think for most people it is, but never mind. Some people like it.
Yeah.
Each to their own, I guess.
Yeah. But obviously, we've got you on the show to talk about photography, mate, haven't we?
Apparently, yeah.
Apparently. So, one thing everyone probably should realise, Pete, it has the brand called Static Age. It's a publisher of some lovely zines. And do you want to talk about maybe what's coming up this year so people can get some insight, maybe, Pete?
Yeah, I think this year there's maybe about 10 releases penciled in. Oh man, I mean, they vary so much from different photographers from all over the world, and all the subject matters are so different as well. And I guess it's one of those things that if you weren't excited about it, then you wouldn't want to put it out. Whereas I think that's where some other places maybe get it wrong and they're just putting out stuff to try and make some money. But the stuff from Ruby Berry, I'm really looking forward to see that. The Dan Carroll one, the pictures from the inside, camera,
Oh,
and all that
that
stuff. You
camera.
know, that's from what? God, 77, I think it was, off the top of my head. But yeah, I can't wait to see that because I love the images from that. Bob Price, I absolutely love his stuff. I mean, you know, the list. I've got a list in front of us, and I could probably take half an hour to go through what everyone's doing. But there's not one person on there that I'm not excited about. You know, I think three zines are out on proof at the minute. So that's Bob Price. We've got Neil Carlson's his main one because we just did another one, which was a free one. So anyone who places an order on the site will get a free zine by him, which is all shot stuff that he did in Iceland on his holiday, which is absolutely incredible. Which I know I sent you down a copy to have a look. But his other stuff, that is just, it's just incredible. So they're both out for proof. And I just finished doing the Jason Connolly one as well, which his stuff is just absolutely incredible. And I'd be, to be honest, a lot of them, I'm surprised a lot of them don't become really famous photographers because their work's incredible. So, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I see some of these people as true artists, mate, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I feel lucky the fact that some of them actually want to work with us, you know, because, you know, they've done stuff with other people before. You know, I've got a book coming out with Barry Phipps, and I mean, he's got books out already, and he's, you know, he's an incredible photographer, artist, you know, whatever you want to call him. But he's, you know, the fact that he said yes, sometimes you're just like, shit, you know, I'm gonna have to really, you know, I don't, you kind of don't want to let anyone down. You don't want anyone to think that you're not putting everything into it, you know. And I guess you feel kind of responsible to kind of keep what you do and make it. I hope that every release I feel like it's got better and better. But, you know, I understand that not every release is for this everyone. There might be someone who's bought every single one, but then some people have probably bought none of them, or they've bought one, but they still follow because they're interested in what we're doing and they'll pick something up at some point. But, you know, I'm happy if I sell one zine or 1,000. It doesn't bother us. It's kind of quite a selfish project in a way because I just love people's work who I feel like if they haven't got stuff out, I want to put out. And if they have, it's because I just want to get involved and I love that work. So, you know, it's kind of like a vicious cycle for myself, really, more than anything.
I think that's probably what makes you unique to a lot of people though, because you've said yourself, you actually realize that you're doing this because you're passionate about seeing their work. It's not about you making money. It's not about this being a job for you. And I think that's a really important thing for a lot of us, isn't it?
Yeah, but I guess I'm lucky that I've worked, you know, I used to work in publishing for quite a few years in magazines, and I know how to make money. And I did have my own magazine at one point, it was make money. But something like this, to me, shouldn't be about how making any money. It should be about just making something that you love doing, you know. And I think there's a total difference between how you can make money and how you can just enjoy yourself. And yeah, some releases I've, you know, broke even. Some releases here I put straight back into, you know, running everything else, like buying everything, putting the next release out, because some releases haven't done so well or they trickle out. But then it's, you know, I think a lot of people don't understand the cost of doing everything. And, you know, it's not just about the print of the zine, it's everything else that goes with it. And I like to give a bit more than just the zine as well. You know, there's like always postcards I get done, stickers, other zines. I'll always stick in if I've got a few other copies left of other things that people have sent me, I'll send them. And you know, I think it's such a growing community, and it's kind of nice to be part of it, really.
I mean, if anyone's never picked up a thing before, what would your definition be of one?
I guess my definition is still probably from when I was young, where a zine was a photocopied black and white, stuck together with sellotape, kind of, I don't know, punk rock kind of thing, you know, where it was pretty badly designed, but that was maybe why you liked it, because it wasn't clean polished that was on the shelf. It was badly done,
It was raw.
even though the people who did it, yeah, raw, but it was raw because that's the best that they could do, but it kind of made sense. And yeah, a lot of the stuff I've done is very clean, very simple, because I think that's the best way to show images. But you know, a lot of my own personal work still is reflected, I think, in the way I used to do things. And I think I put my first zine out when I was, oh, it must have been like, I don't know, first posters were done when I was maybe 14, which was done in that kind of, thing where I just, for a band that I was playing in, it was a terrible band, but you had to do posters. And then the first zine, I was maybe 17, and then did a few more. And you can see the progression on what you see and you copy to kind of going to college, learning how to use Quark and InDesign and Photoshop to how you can then make something feel better for you just because you learned it. It's like bands. It's like, you'll get an amazing punk rock band and the first record will be incredible. And then the next record is shit because they've learned how to play, and everyone says, oh, I don't like it, but they get more popular. It's like, it's only because they've learned how to play. And it's the same thing. You learn how to design, so you learn how to develop a style of something. And I think that's the same way I think zines have gone. But it would be nice to do a few cut and paste, stick together things, which I am kind of working on, but we'll see when they come out, probably later down the line. But all black and
Yeah, it's
white.
fun. No, it's funny because as I was telling Pete, I'm actually writing an article about why we should buy these and why we should get back to printing. And one of my opening lines about remembering zines is, I remember black and white paper, sort of magazine style, the thing that you're talking about, you stuck together. And my words are black and white printed on impact printers like dot matrix, because that's all we had at the time. And you just used your knowledge, and that's what it was.
Yeah, and the more you get to know, the more you'll understand how, if I look at it, I've still got a couple of zines I did from when I was a kid, and the
Wow.
images are pixelated, or they're photographs basically just stuck down, and I haven't cut like a border around it. I try to make it look nice, and it looks terrible because it's very black, but the original photo looks nice. You don't really think, oh, well, in Photoshop, I can tweak the levels on this. You know what I mean? It's like you just do it and you want to get it out and you just hand them out for free. I think the first one was free off 20 pence, and it's like, you could never go to a gig now or anything and get anything for free off 20 pence. So,
Yeah.
it's amazing just, but I think the whole scene that I grew up on has changed so much anyway. And I think it's going to move with the times a little bit.
No, definitely. So obviously we've got a little insight there into your childhood. Now, when did you get into photography then? So you obviously you was into your printing in your teens.
I think photography for me was something from just being a young kid, like going out with family and things. I remember the was it the 110 cameras and just looking at how people took photographs. And every kid gets an interest in photography at some point. But then I think it was when I started skateboarding at the age of 11, and I pretty much take a camera out a lot of the time. I've still got photographs from back then, friends who I'm still friends with now. And I would just take photos whenever I needed to. Just it wasn't like I'm a photographer, I have to do document the scene. It was just like, it's like take photos. I just want to go and take pictures of my friends, which is the same way I see it now. I think you should just do it because you enjoy it, not because you're trying to be something, because I think that's when things don't work or you just look like a bit of an arse. And I'd rather just kind of do it more naturally than force it to be something. But yeah, and I guess skateboarding was the thing that got me into photography and especially design because, you look through the magazines, you look at the way skateboards are designed, and I think that intrigued us more than anything. And then that led us into music. Skateboarding led us into music because, if you're back in, what, 88, when you start listening to music, it was all because of what you'd seen in the skateboard video. And that again showed you what zines were coming through, like, Santa Cruz skateboards would do this like zine thing they would send to you, and it was just black and white paper. Probably a bit fancier because they were a big company, but that was just the mentality you had. And listening to the punk rock, and it was just kind of fun, I guess, and it kind of makes you understand maybe who you are a bit, because I think the skateboard scene has a quite a very creative background behind it. Not everyone, but I'd say a lot of people and people I know now who still skate still have that kind of, you know, we want to do stuff ourselves and that DIY culture, I guess.
That's interesting, that. So it's a different background to a lot of people there, because obviously, you know, I'm on my, what, 78th person.
Yeah, 77.
And no one's, no one's really talked about skateboarding before, and or music, to be fair. But I see a lot of musicians that are photographers as well.
Yeah, I think there is. But I mean, I guess for me, like with the skating, some of my favorite photographers are skaters or were professional skaters. You know, you know, a lot of people you'll speak, you know, Jason Lee, I absolutely love his stuff and have done for years.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people like, oh, the dude who was in Alvin and the Chipmunks, and you're like, no, he's the dude who used to skate with the guns, and, you know, and you're just like, he was a professional skater. I'm like, no, and I'm like, yeah, you know, it's like Ed Templeton. I mean, I absolutely love his work. You know, it's just absolutely incredible. But you know, I love loads of other photographers as well. But you know, it's just Ray Barbie. You know, I know like there's the cliche skater ones who've done well, but you look at their work and it's all film based. It's all just natural, and it's just what they were shooting at the time. You know, they weren't going out of their way to kind of make a name for themselves. They were just shooting because that's what they loved doing. You know, I guess because they had some level of fame anyway, it probably helped, but their imagery is amazing. So I don't think they even needed that to get to where they are. So.
Yeah. And obviously there's people like Grant Britain.
Grant Britain, Glenny Freeman. You know, it's like absolutely incredible. I know I just pronounced his name wrong, but there we go. But, you know, there's so many amazing photographers, and because that's the culture I loved, that's kind of what I grew up with. It wasn't until maybe later down the line I'd kind of start finding out about other photographers, you know, like Bruce Gilden, and I mean, he's just crazy, but, you know, you know, because I wasn't surrounded by that, I wouldn't find out about it. But later down, because you start getting more interested in it, you start to see maybe where, who influenced the photographers, who you influenced you, you know, it's kind of, you know, I think that's the way of learning kind of what you do and why you love it, really.
Oh, definitely, mate. Yeah. I mean, you're always going to have a little bit of people around you, I think, because you've got to learn a little bit of technical skill to work the button side and understand light, but other things, visual stuff, especially now, everything's going to come offline. But back in the 80s, we didn't have that, did we?
Well, back then, I mean, if you were lucky if you got someone's phone number to organise something, you know, and it was literally everything you did, you know, putting out a record, you know, you sent it off to a few addresses and you just play your ass off to get people to buy it. And I think people now are just quite lazy and they'll just stick it on Instagram. They'll get upset if they don't get a certain amount of likes. You know, or they'll Photoshop the crap out of something, and it's like, you know, if that's what they want to do, great, but that's not the kind of thing that interests me. I just find that kind of thing quite boring, and, you know, you're not obviously not doing it because you love it.
Yeah. I think the challenge is a good thing. You know, I've talked about some of these portraits I've been doing with some of these models on the streets, but, you know, it's not been easy, mate, because I had to use my mates, let my mates meter for me, and then I'm trying to visualize how that would look in film and still, you know, manually focusing and everything, which, you know, it's totally old school. And you still want to make sure you come out with something for the model. And, you know, this isn't exactly... studio environment, we're out there on the bloody streets, and as far as I'm concerned, that's real shooting any day of the week.
I think what you'll think is you'll learn so much more, you know, regardless the argument between film and digital. I see the purpose of both, you know, like in a work environment for me, I had to start shooting digital because I was working for a mixed martial arts magazine, and it was hard to shoot on film, especially back then, because you didn't get a lot of your film back and you'd miss deadlines and you'd get it back and you were like, shit, I can use like 3 photos and they're not even very good. So, you know, right. when you move from that to digital, it was like, this is brilliant. I can just keep shooting away. And because I'm quite quick at going through photos, knowing which ones I like, which I don't, I didn't find that hard. So there is a need for digital, because you need it for time and things like that. And you've got deadlines, and especially the way things are now, you know, with like news and things, it needs to be instant, which is a shame. But I think you'll only be better at that if you learn how to do, I think, like shooting film, really, because then you understand the camera, you know, and you understand how you work. So you look at how, I don't know, how the scene's set, so you can see it with a, you know, if you've got a film camera, because you normally it's first take more time to look at it, and then eventually it just becomes second nature. You know exactly where to shoot and who to shoot. You know, where a lot of digital photographers will shoot, like, they'll either won't even use the viewfinder, which I just find incredible, or they'll use the little screen at the back, or they'll just point and look around, but they don't really care, and they'll take 1,000 shots of the same thing, as opposed to one person where you'll go along, you might need to take an extra one just to make sure, but that's it. You know, you don't waste your time. And I think film is so crucial in learning just how to do photography, regardless of how you're going to do it.
Yeah, you're right. And that, I think both mediums are the same, mate. Yeah, that they can support each other. Because I think, like you're saying, the important thing is using a film camera for basics. But the quickest way of getting feedback is using a digital camera, isn't it?
In some respects, it depends what you're shooting. That's the thing. Like, yeah. it's all about what you're shooting. You know, usually if you're shooting something for me digital, it's not for me anyway. It's for someone else.
Yeah.
So they've paid us saying, I need you to do this shot. I need it this afternoon. So if I was doing on film, right, I've got the shot. I've got another 34 exposures to take. I'll just take pictures of my shoes. You know, it's like, then I've got to go and develop it. Then I've got to scan it. What happens if they look shit? You know, you've got to think, so, you know.
It's different,
isn't exactly.
It?
But I think a lot of people just get so, there's some people who are like, who shoot film and they're so pure about it. And I can understand why, but they're still using a digital camera to take pictures to put on Instagram. So it's kind of like, well, what do you want? You know, you kind of say one thing and then you're using it yourself anyway to show how pure you are at film. It's kind of like, just get over it and, you know, just enjoy it and have fun. I think that's what a lot of people do, take themselves too seriously.
Yeah, I think you're right, mate. I think that there's reasons that you can use film cameras and ones like I've talked about are things like constraints. Having a constraint can make you a better photographer, or it could be good for a certain project, whereas digital, you don't always have the constraint, so it's a bit too easy sometimes too, like you said, like just spray, not even take any interest.
Yeah, and I think you find that a lot of the time. I recently went back to college just to learn how to use the darkroom again, because it's been years since I did it, and I know the college I was at, it was perfect, and you know, there were some people there who they just had no love of photography, but they wanted to be a photographer, and you know, there was, but you know, it was kind of more like, oh, I think it's just an easy way to get a job. And I would say to be a photographer is possibly one of the hardest jobs around, because there's not many places that you're going to just get a full-time job where you get a wage and it's secure. Most photographers I know, you've got to work hard, and then photography becomes a job and not as a hobby for a lot of them, you know, so they don't take photos for pleasure anymore. It's purely business, and you know, over a few years you see it slipping away, and they just have this total kind of hatred, I guess, for it, because it's their job. So it's finding a good balance of what you want to do and who you are, I guess, really.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the toughest areas. I know personally it weighs on me a lot, because I often think I've probably got the ability to do it professionally, but if I did it professionally, I probably then wouldn't have a hobby. I certainly wouldn't be able to do podcasting. I wouldn't be able to do any blogging. And you just think, is that actually worth it?
That's the thing. If you're happy doing what you're doing and you want to keep shooting whatever it is because you're enjoying it, I would just keep doing what you're doing. You know, you never know what's going to happen in the future. You might get an opportunity to do something and it could change the way you, it might end up being a full-time job. I know I've kind of started a new job where I'm actually starting to do more photography in that job, and I feel like I've got a good balance now, because it's not full-time taking photos, but it's just, I enjoy doing it. And yes, it's kind of very commercial type of stuff, like portraits and things of people, but I don't do that when I'm out doing my own photography. So it's quite nice to do something different. But yeah, and I'm not the greatest photographer in the world. I've still got a shitload to learn. I think the stuff I take photos of probably isn't very interesting for a lot of people, but the whole point is you're not doing it for anyone else. You should be doing it. You should, like I said before, you shouldn't be taking a photo to get likes on your Instagram. You should be taking a photo because you think that looks cool, or I want to, I want to document that, or even a wedding. If someone wants to do a wedding, people look down on wedding photographers. Just shoot. If you want to do something and you can make money doing something you love, why not? What's the problem?
Yeah, exactly. I know. The funny thing is, like Pete's saying, a lot of people like his work. And he'll send me a picture of a bin, for instance, or a bath.
It's not just any old bath.
Not just any old bath. No, this will be a bath on a street somewhere. It'd be like a desolate sort of rough looking area. Me and Pete have obviously got this similar thing where we both love this sort of mundane, abstract part of real life, mate, isn't it?
Well, in some ways, it's like, some of the people go and get these amazing landscapes, but I don't live in the countryside. I know it's just a half-hour drive away, but my landscape is what I see around us. And, I see mattresses chucked out of buildings that have been left to rot. I see baths that are just left on the street. And to me, that's what I find interesting about where I live. And, and I just so happen to want to take photographs because I want to remember it, because I find it interesting. I don't find interest in taking pictures of, traditional street photography. I just find there's a lot of people who can do it really well, and there's a lot of people who can't, regardless if if you like it or not. But that's just not what I'm interested in taking photos of. Obviously I do it now and again when you're walking around, but, if I'll drive out my way if I've heard there's a mattress in someone's garden, purely just because I think that's more interesting than two people smoking outside of a pub. It's like, I still might love that photo someone's taken, but I just don't really want to take it myself. But that to me is landscape. I know I'll get slated for saying that, but it's the landscape that I see. So, every single day. So, might as well document what I see, not what I'm kind of wanting to go out and find. So.
No, that's right, mate. Like you say, mate, your landscape is the city, it is the urban environment. So you're only shooting something A, you enjoy, and B, you're just being real about where you are, right? Yeah. You're not dressing it up.
Yeah, I mean, that a lot of these are literally within a few miles of, where I live. Sometimes I'll go on a little mission thinking I know that area will probably have a lot of shit in an alley, but, sometimes you get there, there's nothing there, but it's sad even thinking like that. But, it's just, you kind of get a bit of a buzz when you're just driving along and you pull over and your wife's like, oh dear, here we go again. You're taking some photographs of someone's bin with like a slide sticking out of it. But yeah, I'm not harming anyone. It's fun. I think everyone should have their hobbies, and at least I'm not going around drinking or punching people in the face. I'm taking pictures of bins and baths. So.
No, it's funny because obviously I've met a lot of people now. Some people that have got to know me well often will email me and say, I've done this amazing shoot today. And obviously the stark contrast between your message, my mate in London, and a mate in New York are so different. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I can imagine. Because I imagine some of them you're looking and go, oh, that is a beautiful photograph. And then the next one you'll see, like a chair with a bit of rain on and
a pink chair though, come on.
Yeah, it was a pink chair, but it was pretty cool, I thought,
It was a fantastic shot.
I've got some other ones which haven't been developed yet of some old cars and stuff. And, it's like, where else am I going to find it? The one I took today of like one of those boating lakes with a swan boat that sunk into the water. I find that more interesting than things that, you know, might be popular, I guess, but that's not the reason why you do it, is it? So
no, exactly. That's why I think sometimes I don't know what my future is, because I enjoy that. I've started enjoying the portraiture. I love street photography. I love landscapes and architecture. So I don't know. I seem to be able to flick in and out of worlds, but I'm not sure which one is really me.
Well, that's the thing, is though, it's different. Like, I love taking shots of architecture, but only with like the Polaroid. Like, I use an old SX70, and okay, I don't really shoot anything else other than buildings with it, because it just looks
that's
nice.
Strange.
You know, but okay, I wouldn't take pictures with a 35 or a 120. You know, it's like I would, I'll come back and get me Polaroid for that. You know, it's, you know, probably just the way I am, but. It's the same with like peel apart stuff. It would only ever be pretty much like architecture, or you know, strange stuff that you would see. But I just take pictures of everything that I find interesting. I wouldn't say that I wouldn't say I'm a portrait photographer at all, but I have to take them, especially now because of work, because 90% of them will be shots of portraits. But I just like taking pictures of whatever's interesting, you know. And I think for you, it's just the same. You love photography that much. It doesn't matter if you're going to become a world famous photographer or not. You should just shoot because you find it interesting, you know. A lot of people specialize in one thing, but, you know, maybe they're missing out on doing something else. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously this year, me and Pete got to actually meet in person, didn't we?
Yeah, no, it was good. Very interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so we met this year. I had a wedding arranged. It's not something I do very often. I'm only really keen on doing it when people really want me to. And Pete wanted her to come and second shoot with me. So obviously, having someone with you is a fantastic thing. And obviously, having a mate is even better. So I thought it was ace, mate. Having us both there, because I think we both get on so well that
I enjoyed it for that, and the fact that I learned a lot, because I don't shoot that much digital, and I found out that I need to really sort out my shutter speed, even though really it should be the other way around of knacking that up for film, but for digital I seem to not be able to get it right, whereas now that's something I learned and I know I've got right now. You know, it's so it was good for so many different reasons, you know. I was good at that, me Nikon broke, so I couldn't shoot any film with that one. But you know, there we go. I picked another one up for £45, so I'm not gonna complain too much about it. It was good, and like I say, some people look down on weddings. I just thought it would be fun, and some of the shots that I remember taking weren't really, I guess, a traditional wedding shot. And I think they were just a natural thing. And I think they're the same with yours. You know, obviously you've got to get the static, you know, stand with your mom, stand with your dad, all that kind of stuff. But I think there was just shots of just people enjoying themselves and being natural when they weren't staring at the camera, or when they were and it was just playing up to it in a different way. So yeah, it's fun. I think everyone should go and shoot a wedding now and again, just because it's fun. You know, it can be quite stressful, but just don't shoot for morons, you know. Meet the people, and if you like them, do it. If you don't, you know, unless it's your job, don't worry about it. Just, you know, ignore them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, obviously I knew before I was going, it was going to be a challenge because it was pretty dark in every single room, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was,
And, obviously, I only have a Nikon D200, which I'd probably only use at ISO 5-600 max. So one of my friends kind of lent me a more modern camera. And then, Pete, obviously, you had your Fuji, didn't you?
Yeah, I had the X-T2, which I love. It's a great camera, but I just couldn't work out how to use shutter speed.
But it was good because, you know, Pete really did save my life a few times. There was a few shots where we're getting set up. I intended and used in Flash quite a lot. I took loads of batteries with me because of how dark it was, and I wanted some clean images. And of course, what happens? Flashes wouldn't fire. And oh my God, that's when your stress levels go mental, and you know, you kindly stepped in.
But I think it was that. I think it was the fact that my camera broke. And it was just like, you know, if you were on your own, it would have sucked. Whereas I think sometimes having a second shooter for even any kind of job sometimes is worth having. And, you know, yeah, it's made me buy an extra digital camera, which should be turning up soon. And, you know, I was going to go Fuji again, but then because I got kind of, I can use a load of Nikon lenses now, I was like, oh, I'll just have to buy two different systems, whatever, you know. It's not like it really matters to me. But yeah, as long as I can get to use a mix of different formats, then I'm quite happy, really. So yeah, it was good. It was definitely a learning curve. And I think I brought down the Mamiya 645. Mm. We didn't even really get to shoot that because I think you put in some ISO 50 film and it was so dark. Unless they were amazing.
That's the thing.
Play musical statues. Mm. There was no way you were going to get to use that. So. And I still haven't even shot one frame of that yet either, because it's so bloody grim up here. You kind of, you know, nothing will turn out. So,
yeah, I was hoping for a few really clean shots, but I don't think there was one room at all.
No, there wasn't.
That was, nah.
Ceilings were low, no light and no natural light. So yeah. It wasn't the best. But I think we did a good job out of it. I mean, you know.
Yes.
You know what? They were happy, and I think that's the main thing.
Exactly, mate, yeah. And that's all I was concerned about. So between us, we had my high ISO, and we had your low shutter speeds. And there was just enough, I think, of each, wasn't there?
I mean, you know, there was a lot of mine which were... But, you know, like I say, it's just a learning curve. Because I haven't used it for so long until, you know, like more the last year or so, that it is a total different learning curve. And really, I should know that stuff. Because, you know, you're used to shooting on film, but you're used to shooting film, so you don't understand, and you're restricted to your ISO, you know, whereas, you know, I don't want to just shove everything on auto and hope for the best. So maybe it wasn't probably the best way to learn, but it definitely teaches a few things. So.
No, that's good. And obviously, we got to spend time together. And I think we had similar sort of temperament. And it worked really well having a really friendly bride and groom.
Oh yeah, definitely. But that's what I was saying about people shooting wens, and you know, I've been offered a couple other wens, and you're kind of like, they're not really that nice. I don't really want to spend a day with you, regardless of how much you're kind of offering to pay, just because you know it's not going to be fun. And I think you need to be enjoying it. It's not my job. Well, if it was my job, you'd kind of just have to shut up and get on with it, but. It's not. So in that respect, you're quite lucky to maybe turn people down or take people on, you know, you know, you can kind of just get genuine people who you know you're going to get good shots with because they're nice people.
Yeah. And that's what was important to me. So this wedding was a football friend of mine. We go back, 13, 14 years playing side by side. You know, seen my mate go through stuff in his life with hospitals and stuff, and his daughters used to come and watch us play at football. So for one of them to get married and ask me to be their photographer was, I don't know, there was obviously some emotion there as well for me, to be honest.
That's the thing, if people want to trust you to take something which is primarily, let's face it, the biggest day of most people's lives, it is a big thing to take on. You know, there's quite a lot of pressure because you want it to be good. I mean, there's the other thing as well that, you know, the initial batch of images, let's face it, no one ever looks at their wedding photos maybe more than twice in their lifetime. You know, so in some respects, wedding photography is a bit daft. But, you know, for that initial response you get, it's amazing. You know, whereas now everyone just doesn't even care about getting any printed or a book. They just want a big file so they're going to upload a big, boring photo on Facebook to hopefully get more than 200 likes. But you know, that's the way people are these days, you know. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's right, mate. You've got to focus on what's important for them.
Yeah.
After all, so I've asked this question to quite a lot of people now, because I quite like the theme of it. What is photography to you? Therapy, addiction, hobby, job, something else, or all of them?
I think it's probably it's generically all of them, but it is an addiction in some ways because it's kind of like with skateboarding, regardless of how old you are, if you've always kind of still done it, you'll do a thing of you'll find spots to skate, when you're driving around. But it's the same with photography. You're always thinking that'll be a good location, or there's a bin, there's a bath. You're always, it's always in the back of your mind, or anything that you do, and you're always thinking, every day you leave the house with a camera, regardless if you take a shot or not. If you need to take that shot, you've got your camera with you. So it is probably kind of a bit of an addiction, and you kind of, I don't know, the amount of books you buy, you don't have to buy them because you can look at everything for free online, but I like to have something. I don't drink, I don't smoke, so I spend my money on things that I like, and I am a bit of a collector and a hoarder. So it's nice to feel like I've got something which I can delve back into and go back and just enjoy. And yeah, so it is an addiction. I think that's what led us to wanting to do static age in the first place, really, just because it was a way of seeing other people's work, not just online half the time. It was actually, oh, I've got my own book by the stuff, it's
Yeah,
kind of made sense to me.
that's really cool, though, mate. I've got to ask, did the name come from a certain punk rock band?
Yes, it came from a band called The Misfits who did an album called Static Age. And
Yeah, thought.
I did kind of rip off or borrow some of their ideas on one, like a little kind of, I did as like a t-shirt and stickers of this hand. So the hand's from the back of the record and, manipulated
Okay.
the type around a little bit just so it would fit into it. But yeah, and it's, they're one of my favorite bands. So it just, when I was
Right.
there, and the whole thing of Static Age, it kind of, to me, made a bit of sense of, well, that's what a photograph is. It's like a static image, and
Is.
it's the age of, how you've grown up and what you see, and it's always going to be there. Whereas a digital image can disappear, but for me, because everything other than a couple of like music and tattoo scenes I've done, everything's been film, and I don't really want to do digital because it doesn't kind of excite us as much as film photography. So yeah, static age kind of like, for me it was like two different meanings really, which kind of just kind of, as usual as I always say, just kind of made sense for me. So, and I just think it sounded quite cool. So, I can't think of another name for it, so why not?
No, that's true. That's good though, mate. And I know, obviously, one of your recent things was starting to shoot Portrait 800.
Well, what half of that is because living in the Northeast is so grim, and it is, it's a lot darker, it's a lot colder, and I just love portrait film. 160 is incredible, but you can maybe shoot it for a few months of the year, 400 maybe a few more months of the year, and then find an 800, and I only didn't buy it because it's so bloody expensive. Like 13 quid plus a roll, you kind of, yeah, you can have a, like, I've got like a monthly film budget, how much I'll spend on stuff. But even then, you just think, shit, I'm not going to take, like, I could buy like 20 rolls of Colour Plus for this, or like loads of like HP5 for like, three rolls pretty much for the same as one. But there's something about it which, I don't know, it's just got that feel to it. And I just, yeah, it's just, I now know that I'm not going to have much money. And I mean, I bought what, six rolls this month, and that'll last us for a bit. Might only last us a couple of weeks. You just don't know. But yeah, there's just something about it and the way people always shoot 400 and 160 and change it. It's 800 just does how I want it to shoot. You don't have to manipulate it in any way. Which is also something I really hate as well. A lot of photographers, when they just stick it in Lightroom and they're spending that long on it, it's just a digital image. It should just be, yeah, everyone can do a bit of bit of leveling just to kind of bring out a shadow or something. But a lot of photographers who've sent us stuff, you're like, are you sure you shot this on film? Because it's so polished. It just doesn't, you've kind of taken away the aesthetics of how film looks, you know? And but 800's just a beautiful film, you know? As sad as that sounds. So,
and I was,
I'm going to get you 120 as well, but I think it's what, 65 quid for 5 rolls. It's like, nah, I'm buying a house, you know. I'd like to maybe kind of get some carpets and pay for a new bed for the kids, as opposed to, you got to, you know, but, you know, I probably will because I'm a bit stupid, but yeah, we'll see. I think, a little fat vlog, it'll be about 3 lines. I like this film, it's good. That's pretty much as I write, because it's, that's all I feel like I need to say. It's a great film. It's like, there's so many good films out there, and a lot of the time, people don't shoot other ones because they're used to it, and the cost, you know? Like, I really like Kodak's Tri-X, but it's a couple of quid more a roll. And then if I'm paying 13 quid for colour film, it's like weighing it up. It's like, I can't always justify just spending that money when I've got other things that are probably more important, you know?
I mean, it's always going to be a problem going forward, mate, isn't it? Because all films ever going to do is go up in price, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I see why Kodak have done it, and I can see other people do the same. It's not going to stop me buying film. It's just maybe sometimes I'll be looking for alternatives sometimes, because I may be able to get, if I'm doing a project and I'm like, right, I need 3 rolls, right, or I can buy one of them, or I can buy 3 of them, or I'll buy that, you know, and it just means you'll shop around a bit, or, you know, see what deals people have got on, be a bit more savvy with where you're buying it. And as much as sometimes you want to support independent retailers, like I was telling you before, the one that's closing down near me, it's, if I can get it cheaper somewhere else, then I'll probably do it, you know, as bad as it sounds. I can't really afford to just spend money just for the sake of it, really, so.
No, it's fair enough, mate, that, you know, there's a lot of us like that. So, obviously, we've looked at your label, we've discussed some of the artists you're working with. Where do you see it going?
I think this year is going to be a good year, because I've got so many good, like, releases coming out. But then again, I don't know. Like, you know, I'm, and it also sounds bad. As long as the work comes out, which is amazing, then I'm quite happy, you know. I think some of them are going to sell so quick, it'll be stupid. And to be honest, most of them sell out within 2-3 months. Some of them sell out within 4 weeks. Because I don't do huge print runs. I do what I think it'll probably reflect on that, the work and how I think it's going to go. But even now, I think I've only got maybe 2 left of the last 2 zines that are up there, and then that's everything gone. But hopefully it would be nice to see, I don't know, like I say, because everything sells out, I don't know how I could maybe do bigger print runs or something. But then again, I don't want to be left with loads of stuff and be out of pocket. You know, because it is pretty much just ran with me if I need to put money into it. Like, I've got some releases this year, which, you know, they're going to cost quite a lot to do. And, you know, if they don't sell, I'm not going to cry about it. I'll just have to take the hit. And, but I'm sure they will, because some of them are incredible. So, but yeah, it's, I think it's going to be a good year. And I think next year as well, I've already got stuff planned. You know, I've got trips planned myself to go and do some projects and some shoots, and hopefully meet up with some of the people who I've done work with. I think that's one of the things I really want to do, and I think that's quite important to me, because I feel like the people I've done stuff with, I don't know, there's always been more than just I like your work, I want to make money from you. It's kind of like, I love your work, you know, I'll do what I can to help if I can. If I've done that wrong, no one said anything otherwise. You know, I'm sure I can't keep everyone happy, but I think the main thing for me is just to enjoy it. I think that's the main thing. I'm kind of gutted that it's, what, nearly, I guess, by the end of February, that I haven't really released anything this year, because it feels like there's just going to be a huge wave of 10 things coming out over like a 4 or 5 month period. But if that's the way it is, you know, because one thing I've always said is no deadlines. If your work's ready, it's ready. I'd rather they were happy with it than think, oh shit, I wish I had like another couple of months to get this image or do this. And if it took a year for someone to put out, that's how long it takes, you know. No one's job is doing this. So, you know, it's, you've got to kind of take that into consideration as well. But
No, I think that's really nice. I think, you know, because you've got your personality behind the brands, you're working with nice people, I think it all works really well. And, you know, I'm glad I found you and your work, mate, to be honest.
Well, thank you very much. It's, you know, you've been quite a good support and putting stuff up for us and things like that. And that's kind of what it is. And I think, it, like I say, it's quite a slow, organic process with it, really. But I'd rather it was like that than, I don't know, just kind of trying to be a bit of a loudmouth and shouting about stuff. It's not really who I am. So there's no point kind of bullshitting people, because then people will see through that.
Yeah, too right. And obviously, you know, when you deal with good people like even Michael Bailey, Analog Forever,
he's done a hell of a lot. Like, you know, like doing that interview for them was just, you know, really did help like tons, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm really grateful for that. And I love that scene that came out. And I mean, the box set that we did was, you know, it kind of, it was quite expensive, but it looked awesome. You know what I mean? And that to me was the main thing. That's what it should be about. It should be about creating something that you love and enjoy.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing about you, whereas some other people who might just self-publish and that. Yeah, I think you've got that design skill as well, and you've got a bit of creativity with doing a special box set. So, you know, I look forward to what you see, what you come up with in the future, without a doubt.
Well, I mean, I know there's a couple of like proper kind of hardbound books coming. There's some box sets coming with prints. You know, I'm not going to like drop names in case anything doesn't happen, but, you know, they're all in the works. Yeah. And I mean, I'm pretty excited about some of the stuff that's coming out this year. Even in the next, hopefully, couple of months. I think the next one, probably in about maybe 3 to 4 weeks. So, you know, we'll see how that one goes. And that's going to, you know, I'm really looking forward. I mean, like I say, I'm looking forward to all of them, but it'll be quite cool just to kind of start. I'm kind of just itching that it's the start of the year and nothing's really happened. But there's loads happening. It just takes time to get things done, you know.
To be fair, obviously what people don't know is, you know, you're moving house, you've started a new job, so, you know, your life does get in the way as well, mate.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm 43, I've got a family, you know, I still do loads of other stuff as well as this, you know, and, you know, you've got to find the time to do everything, you know, like, you know, you know, we're just after 10 now for us, but I'll probably be, you know, after this, I'll probably still be up for a couple hours faffing on doing some other stuff, so.
No, that's cool. Well, we are now through to the fun part of the show, mate. So, all my guests go through the random questions. Are you ready?
It depends.
It depends.
Somebody not asking us to take my clothes off, then we're all right.
I'm not sure how that would go across on the
No, but the fact that you can see stream. It through this video link at the minute, that's all I mean.
No, that's cool. Right, here we go. Nice, easy one. Mr. and Little Miss were popular children's books, but what title would you add?
Mr. Ross. Just because I can be. You know, I can be quite opinionated. I don't really hold back on what I think. Yeah, and because I think you should just say what you think. You know, unless you're a daft racist, then you should keep it to yourself and then realise that you're stupid and should never say it. But yeah, Mr. Ross, I think, will be the good one.
Mr. Ross, I like that, yeah. Oh, that's good. Would you rather do one smelly fart a day or fart all day but have no smell?
You know what, it depends what you've eaten. You know, if you've had a curry the night before, then it's bad all day, you know. I don't know if I can really choose because, you know, they're always pretty bad anyway.
Fair enough. It's funny what you were saying earlier because this third one's all you as well.
All right.
I think. How do you have a paddy in space? Because you can't slam doors or your feet.
You know what? I never really get pissed off. Like,
no, you don't, do you?
No, there's always something, yeah, something shit's going to happen or whatever, but just deal with it and get on with it. You know, I'm quite lucky because I know a lot of people can't do that. But now, it's whatever. I'm in space. It's probably going to be pretty boring on your own anyway. So what's the point in getting upset about it, you know? Probably not the best answer in the world, but there you go.
But you'd be a good astronaut because you wouldn't be getting stressed.
If that's the only requirement, yeah. You have to have some interest in space, maybe, but other than Star Wars, I'd be slightly disappointed if Darth Vader didn't start coming after us, but there we go.
Oh, fair enough, okay. Hitchhiker book famously included a species whose poetry was so bad it could kill. What alternative method would you use to torture aliens?
Shit. See, there's random and then there's bizarre questions, isn't there? So, to torture aliens, probably just play them some kind of shit pop music that people seem to enjoy.
Ah, okay.
You know, that's what tortures me. So, yeah, are people whistling?
All right, you don't like whistlers.
I can't stand it. I don't see the point in it. You don't need to do it. Especially if you're going to whistle all the way through a song, which is pretty bad anyway, but by making it worse by whistling it, nah, I've got no time for that. So yeah, the aliens can listen to that.
Okay, that sounds pretty good one, actually. There are many famous detective agencies. What would yours be called, and who would be your partner?
You see, I'm gonna go old school here anyway. I wouldn't need a partner because I would just go Columbo style. And since my name's pretty much the same as Peter Falk, I just have an OUS on the end. I'm just gonna go single fella, grumpy as shit in a Mac, just solving crimes. Or
with a cigar?
No, not with a cigar. Maybe just like a stick. Just be
that.
Like an old man who just randomly hits strangers with a stick or something like that. I think that would be more fun.
That's cool. Which is your favourite comic book villain?
God. Shit, that's hard because I play a lot of Marvel games and DC games. Favourite villain? You know what, I'm going to go, is he a villain? Is he not? Maybe Loki.
Okay, yeah.
You know, but is he a villain? He was. Then he wasn't.
Well, yeah, technically, he probably is.
But then he wasn't. But then he, you know, spoilers, he's dead. Ooh, you know, but like, it's like, yeah, maybe Loki, just because he was he's quite funny, I guess. In the hatred that he had behind him. Yeah, I think Loki.
We're learning a lot about you, you know.
Yeah, it's probably for them. Not a good thing, though, is it?
Final one. So you get to either punch, give a present, or have a pint with the following. So you've got Pete Sampras, Pete Tong, and Pete Doherty.
I'd probably just punch them all, to be honest. Or maybe glass one with the pint. I don't know. They're all pretty people that I just don't care about, as horrible as that sounds. They're just, you know,
fair enough.
You know, one's a crap junkie, so, you know, maybe he doesn't need anything anyway because he's probably had a bad life anyway. So, I couldn't even answer that because I know I have to. Just do in the order you said it. I think that's the easiest way. They're all like, you know, Pete Sampras. Oh, man, like, who can remember him? Probably people who love tennis or sport, I guess.
Yeah.
But I'm someone who obviously doesn't. So.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, thank you for going through that, mate.
It's all right, man. Thank you for letting
I did say they were random, didn't I?
You did, yeah. They were more random than some of the other ones. So, yeah. I just hope I haven't babbled on too much or been boring. So, you know.
Nah, don't be deaf, mate. So, everyone also gets to give me an idea of someone they think would make an interesting guest on the show. Have you got anyone you would think that might make a good guest, or anyone you can recommend?
You know what? I'm just going to kind of say anyone who I've done a zine with, or anyone who I'm doing a zine with. You know, because okay. I think some of them have got some incredible stories. I think Nils, he'd be incredible to talk to. I think Jason from Scotland, his stuff, amazing. Because I think they're all interesting people. I think you'd get great stuff from them anyway. I mean, I'd love you to interview some of my favourite photographers, you know, but that's just for a purely selfish thing, really. but yeah.
No wrong being selfish.
I would say anyone, because, yeah, like Lisa, who did a zine with, she'd be great to talk to because she's been through like so much and done so much, and I worked so fucking good. So, yeah, I think, you know, just have a look at the list and just choose one. I would say they're all pretty much more worthwhile than I am. So, you know, because all I've all I've done is kind of try to put out their work. They're the ones who've done all the hard work. Like you say, you know, all my zines have been, actually some of them have been maybe a bit more architecture-led, but the last ones, and I know for the next 5 years, they're just going to be pictures of rubbish. So it's not really what everyone strives for in a coffee table group, is it? Or how
some of us.
Well, some of us, yeah, but let's face it, all the arty people will be going, this is just dog dirt, isn't it? And you're like, well, yeah, whatever. So that picture of a cat having a shit, I don't really care, you know, whatever.
Yeah. No, that's cool. In actual fact, I am working with Nils.
All right, cool.
So hopefully that'll happen. He's obviously got lots of things going on in his life, so it might not be for quite a few months yet.
Yeah, well, I know he's moving house and stuff like that, so he probably wants to get settled in and things. So, yeah. But, yeah, I think that would be an interesting one because there'll be stuff in there.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think it's like you say, mate. He's going through a lot, and anyone who wants to get involved a little bit behind the scenes, my Facebook therapy group, you'll see there's a few of us in there that talk openly about issues in life. It's not about photography. We don't post pictures. We don't talk gear. We talk about problems we have in life. And it's actually been nice to get people like even Nils in there, because they're talking about their real situations and what's happened.
I think it's I think it's a great idea, to be honest. I mean, I'm probably just more of an observer, because I guess I'm just one of those pain in the arses that always just tries to be positive about things, and I always know that it'll work out how you need it to work out, usually. You know, like everyone's been through shit stuff to go through, but I feel like I'm lucky that I haven't had to have some of the crap that I know friends and family have had over the years, because watching it is something I would hate to have myself. So, you know, I feel kind of lucky in that sense, but I think for some people it's totally needed. And I'll pipe up on some of the conversations when I feel like I've got something to add. I'm not just going to say stuff for the sake of it, because then it doesn't really mean anything.
No, that's right. And that's what it's about, mate, isn't it? You know, you've got to be yourself.
Yeah. Some people need support in some ways, some people need it in others, and you know people, you know, it's definitely, you can see from it, some people are really using it. I can see it as a, even if people do start putting stuff up about what they're doing photography-wise, in some ways that helps them, you know, to talk about how they're feeling and kind of to change the subject, or to deal with the subject as opposed to changing it, so people can use it in a way for in a positive light.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Yeah, that's another good point, really, because, you know, there's no rules about how you heal and deal with life, is there? Like you say, you're one of the few, I think, that remain pretty much positive.
I mean, I try
Even I
to,
have
you
my
know.
Oh, you do, mate, yeah, without a doubt. And I think that's really good because, even I've had my bad days, and even though I open up in the group, a lot of the stuff I talk about is in my past and
Yeah.
how it's affected me. Which, end of the day, it's past tense. It has happened. It's who I am now. I just accept sometimes I will suffer a bit of melancholy. And sometimes that's just life, but I accept it and who I am now, sort of thing.
Well, that's the thing, you know, everyone deals with some kind of like stressor, something dramatic that happens in your
Exactly.
life in different ways. And it's not that it doesn't affect me, I just deal with it in a different way. I know some people
Yeah.
can't deal with it and that's what affects them, but you know, I always, I guess because when I was young and some of the things that kind of happened family wise, like me dad dying when I was 11, it was seeing how other people were affected. And if you went on the same way, you kind of needed to kind of be a bit stronger to help them. So maybe you know, in some ways, maybe I oppressed those kind of feelings, but in some ways, I feel like I got it to learn to kind of, I had a situation I had to deal with to help other people. And, you know, that's what was more important for me than thinking about myself. So I always just kind of think, well, it'll always be worse for me. You know, I'm still here. I still got the people around who I want to be around, so that's the main thing for me.
Yeah, you're right, mate. Yeah. And a positive outlook helps everybody, to be
Yeah,
honest.
I think it does. Yeah, I think, you know, as long as it's honest and you're not just bullshitting for the sake of it.
Yeah, you're not this fake Instagram world of, oh, everything's amazing. I'm having an amazing life. You should be
Yeah.
more positive about your problems.
I know people
We're
who,
not them people.
I mean, I know people who do that, and you know fine well you'll see a post, you're thinking bullshit, you're sad and lonely. Stop, like, you know, you need friends to be, you need, but you need to be kind of honest with your real friends as well, like, you know, to talk about it, you know. But that's, I think the internet's changed how people look at, especially like mental health issues and stuff, and I think some, not in the right way, because I think it's causing more problems for some people who might not have had anything before, because you know everything is in this kind of fake world online, and you know they can't then transform, you know, put that into reality, and it's kind of shit to see some people really suffer from it.
Is, mate, yeah, and I think obviously as the generations increase, that's their normal life.
Yeah.
That it is only online, isn't it?
And I spend too long online, you know, I spend too long on probably on my phone. You know, like maybe my wife will sometimes be like, "What are you doing?" And you're like, "Oh yeah, I've just been doing the same." You know, so I'm just as guilty, you know, being on it too much. But you know, you sometimes try to make an effort of not doing it as much, but you just kind of, you, whatever's comfortable, you just kind of slip into a, I guess like a phone coma as such, and you just sit there for hours, or going on YouTube looking at people squeezing spots for 4 hours, and then you realize you've got to get up an hour later. You know what I mean? It's, which I've been guilty of. It's fascinating. Dr. Pimple Popper is bloody amazing, but there we go.
We have some strange hobbies.
Yeah. Well, it's not a hobby, you know. It's not like, oh shit, I'm gonna watch some blackheads tonight, you know. It's like, you know, if you're just sitting there and you see it, you're like, oh, let's watch this, and then, you know, an hour and a half later, you're like, oh dear me, I cannot watch another cyst, but then you do.
It's terrible, isn't it?
It is sad, but it is fun. I guess, but that's what the internet should be. It should be educational and fun, not a way of making people feel shit about themselves.
Nah, I agree, mate. And I hope the small bit I'm doing with this group helps someone. And that's all you can ever aim for, mate, isn't it?
Exactly. You know, you just got to do what you can, and you know, nothing, everything's going to be perfect in life. So, you know, if you can try and just kind of make people open up a bit, that's all you can do.
No, that's cool. Right, so the last thing obviously we want to tell everybody is where we can check out your work.
If you just go to staticage.co.uk, that's pretty much everything that's on there. links to Instagram. I can't even remember what the Instagram handle is because I never really needed to remember it, do I? I remember the web address,
nah.
But yeah, just on the website, got a blog on there. You can subscribe to the newsletter. But I'd say over the next 6 months, there's probably going to be at least another six releases. And I'll be honest, I kind of wait for them. They're going to be great. And I know I'm not trying to be Mr. Salesman, but if you're into kind of photography and publishing and things, they're interesting, they're good, and the work's great. So, just check it out and enjoy it, I guess. But anyway, thank you for that, man. Just give a nod when it's all hilariously done, and I'll maybe see how long I can actually listen to it for. I know Lindsay was like, oh, I'm going to listen to it. And she said, I'll take the piss away. I was like, that's just what I need. My own fucking wife and best mate taking the piss. Because that's all we do anyway, isn't it? So that's the way it should be.
Of course it is, mate. Yeah, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Yeah.
Kind of laziness, or because your mind's somewhere else wanting to do other stuff, you kind of just don't give a shit. So you kind of got to, grow up a little bit, maybe. But anyway, I will shut up now. So thank you very much, man.
Nah, it's been good talking to you, dude.
Yeah, thank you very much, man. Yeah, I appreciate it. It's very surreal because it's the first one I've done, so it'll be quite strange.
You take care, mate.
I will, man. Take care. I'll see you later.
Cheers,
mate.
Bye.
See you later, man. Ciao.